All right, Ephesians 5. Let's go to Ephesians 5. We're going to just start in verse 15. We've already covered it. We're just going to read through. Ephesians 5:15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always, for all things, to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And so that's just the first principle, that we need to be filled with God's Spirit. That will determine the success of any of our relationships. To the extent that we're yielded to God's Spirit, to the extent that we're allowing to be continually being filled with God's Spirit. Wives, submit to your husbands in everything. No ands, ifs, buts, no exemptions. Wives are in submission to their husbands. We went through a number of reasons why. It simply, mainly, is just the order that again, God's established. It's the order of creation. Go back to Genesis 2 and Genesis 3. As we dealt with wives submitting to their husbands, the first thing that Paul speaks of, now we enter into the husbands this morning. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Of the four major Greek words used for love, we'll mention three of them this morning. The world is driven by eros. I think the world defines love by eros. It's the word we get erotic from. In the scriptures, eros is defined, really, I would kind of say, as the lowest, you might say, form of love. It's related to the carnal drive, the sexual drive within human beings. Eros is physical love. Eros, I think, you know, so many relationships today are started, you know, out of eros. They try, they're kind of consummated in eros, and they try to attempt to succeed in eros, and they don't succeed because, again, beauty, handsomeness, you know, those things are very fleeting. And again, whenever it's dealt with in the scripture and the word itself, it's fleshly. It's carnal. That's not the word that's used here. Husbands, love your wives. A second Greek word that we'll just mention briefly is phileo. And it is a love that's described as a friendship type of love or a brotherly love. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. It's again, maybe a little more depth-wise than eros, but it's not the love that's spoken of here. It's You want to read a good exchange and look at the Greek words for love. Go back to where Jesus is speaking with Peter after Peter has denied him, after Peter has gone to the cross, after Peter or Jesus has gone to the cross, gone to the tomb, been resurrected, and now Peter and Jesus are reunited. In fact, Peter has made a decision to basically go back to his old lifestyle. He says, I'm going back fishing. Who wants to come with me? And Jesus speaks with Peter, and he asks Peter three times, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, well, Lord, in his response, I respect you. I would befriend you, but that's not what Jesus is asking him. Phileo. Jesus is asking him the word really that's used here. Husbands, agape, your wives. It's the highest form of love. It's God love. Husbands, we're commanded to love our wives, to agape our wives. Now, we would wonder, what does that mean? How is that, accomplished? Or what does that entail? It's interesting that Paul, as he makes this statement, then goes on here in the next couple, sentences to give us some good ideas of how that would, play out, what that would involve. What does it mean to agape someone else? God is love. God is agape. God, and we're called, again, to agape God and also to agape one another. Husbands, agape your wives. Just some initial things. Agape love is a totally unselfish, not self-centered love. Agape love is a love that loves by laying down. We're going to see that's one of the things that Paul says here. Laying down one's life for another. Agape love loves expecting nothing in return. Just some again, characteristics. Agape love, I've always looked at, it's almost like a self-destructive love in a way. You love, you give. And the only thing you do is you trust God that as you do that and you walk as God would walk, as God would desire that you would love, then He is going to bless you. He is going to fill you. He is going to fulfill you. Husbands, love your wives. Now, what does Paul go on, first of all, to say here? Just as Christ also loved the church. So the first thing we can do is we can look at how did Jesus, I'm to love my wife as a husband, I'm to love my wife as Christ loved the church. Well, how did Christ love the church? The first thing I might add or look at is, what is the church? Maybe what are some of the characteristics? Oh, God chose to love this beautiful, loving thing called the church. No. Let's just look at the church as you and I. The church is, we're the living stones of the church, and God chose to love us. How did He choose to love us? With agape love. And who were we? We were His very sworn enemies.
We hated him. There was nothing good in us. There was nothing lovable about us. There was nothing beautiful about us. That's, to me, that's just a tremendous thing to realize. That, again, look a little bit at the object of Christ's love, the church. It's not a pretty object. Again, they're not beautiful, not handsome, not intelligent, not able, not, again, not lovable, not peaceable, not cuddly, not warm, not fuzzy, not fulfilling in any way, shape, or form. We are at odds with God. Again, we hated God. We are enemies of God, and Christ loved us. And so love does not have to do with how lovable that person is. But we as husbands are called to love our wives. How often I hear, well, I would love them if. I would love them in this situation. Or if there was just this change. Or it's not what, that's not how Jesus loved the church. And then look at the, as he loved the church, look at what it says there in the second part. And gave himself for her. You know, go back and look at Matthew 27 or Mark 15 or some of these places. You know, how did Christ give himself for her? It's not a pretty picture. It's not something I think that was it wasn't the most pleasant thing for Christ to do it, but he did it, didn't he? Pilate pronounced sentence on him. They led him away into the praetorium. They beat him. They spit upon him. They took a crown of thorns and they screwed it and crushed it into his head. They put robes on him and mocked him. They again, they put a cross, you know, on him, made him bear his cross on that way up to the hill of Golgotha, ultimately nailing him to that cross. How did Jesus give himself to the one that he loved? He gave his life for you and for I. Me. You know, it's just a tremendous example of what love is. You know, when Jesus came, Paul's description in Philippians chapter 2 of how Jesus came is, again, I think another good example. We read this, I think, here fairly often. But look at verse 5 of Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. There's the love of Jesus and the willingness of Jesus. I'm actually, in a sense, he willingly laid aside his godhood. Totally willing. It wasn't about him. It wasn't about what he would gain. It wasn't about anything that he would do. Totally laid himself aside to go to the cross for you and I. It's powerful. Made himself taking the form of a bond, being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself. He didn't even, at that time, demand to be worshipped, demand to be called God and worshipped as God, and crowned as king. No, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. And a horrible death it was. Death on a cross. You see, that's the love that we're talking about here. Husbands, agape your wives, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Who was the church and how lovable was the church? Not lovable at all. But he chose to love the church. He gave himself up for her. He died for her. And again, as husbands, we just need to look at ourselves this morning. You know, are we dying to our desires? Are we dying, laying down our lives for the one we're claiming to love? What are the requirements of us, you know, loving that other person? You know, in the beginning, I know it's just, oh boy, I'll do anything. I'll open the door. I'll open the door for you. When you get out of the car, go into a building, I'll even wash the clothes or do the dishes. And then as soon as I've got the prize, that all ends. Right? Now just do, you know, I mean, we got to look at, you know, are we doing what God's called us to do? That's how this thing all works. You know, the wives are believing and trusting God and walking in obedience to what they are called to do. Submit to their husbands. And lastly, we're going to see here, respect them. And then our husbands loving their wives. Now there's an end to the whole thing, right? And again, some characteristics of, to me, of why, you know, we're loving that other person. It's all about them. That I might edify them, that I might sanctify them, that I might, in essence, you know, make their life what it needs to be. You know, we were looking, I guess, it was Wednesday. We did 1 Corinthians 4. And Paul gives us four pictures of what a Christian is. And we could say he gives us four pictures of what a minister is. What an apostle, he was describing himself. He says, you know what, if you guys are looking at us, look at us as slaves of Christ. That's a powerful thing. Don't look at us as having any exalted position. We have no rights. We went back again to Exodus, a bond slave here, a slave that's been set free but chooses to serve his master the rest of his life. And so the master takes him to the doorpost of his home and runs an awl through the lobe of his ear, as a sign that he has chosen. He's been given his freedom, but he gives his freedom up. I'd rather serve my master willingly the rest of my life. We're slaves of Christ. So if I'm a slave, all I need to do is look and follow what my master, where he's leading me, what he's telling me to do. That's it. I don't have to go any farther than that. Doesn't matter what I think, doesn't matter what I feel, doesn't matter if I think I'm right, doesn't matter if I like it or not. Jesus, what are you saying? Settled, done. Then Paul says, I'm a steward of the things, of the mysteries of God. God's entrusted me, and for Paul, the mystery was the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's a steward. He's an overseer and a caretaker and a shepherd of that which God has entrusted to him. And we went back and we looked at Abraham's servant and how faithfully he took care of Abraham's affairs and what Abraham had entrusted to him. We should be the same. We're stewards. And then one that we might not like, Paul says, at times we're spectacles and not the kind that are up on the podium getting the award. Paul says it's the opposite. We're spectacles in a way that the world is laughing at us. In fact, Paul says that he is a fool for Christ. And the world mocks his life and his love for Jesus. And lastly, then, Paul says he's a father. He loves those that are around him, the church, the believers. We are to love our wives. Doesn't matter, has nothing to do with who they are, what they are. We choose to love them. That's our place. And again, there's so many conditions. God's love is unconditional. God's love, agape love, I'm not loving 1 minute and not loving the next. Do you realize that God's love for you and I never changes? If I've sinned, he still loves me just as much as when I wasn't sinning. It's an amazing thing. And he loves me no more than he loves you. You no more than he loves me. Betty's wanting to get up. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. Isn't that a beautiful thing? I just ask myself, you know, what motivates me? What directs me? What you know, is guiding me? I could say, well, the Lord or the Holy Spirit. It's all those things. But again, are you a husband this morning of the word? Because our goal is to bring redemption, refreshment, cleansing, restoration, maturity, growth. I have to be a husband of the word. I have to be a husband of the worship. You know, what determines the decisions I make as a husband? The word. What determines what is allowed in my home? The word. What, you know, just anything. It's all, that's what it is. And so, sanctification, what's sanctification? A setting apart and a holiness to the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Growth, maturity, sanctification comes by obeying the word and walking in the word. And so the awesome responsibility of me as a husband loving my wife in a proper way. And the only way I can even come close to that is by just doing what the word says. But I'm loving her, and that's what's leading and guiding. You know, that's my guiding principle. That's why every day I want to continually, and that's why we tried to press this, that the Pentecostal church or the charismatic church you know, they'll look at events and they'll try and pin you on the fundamental church. They look at events, and I want to be able to look back and say, yes, I confessed Christ and I repented and I came to Christ on this day. But I think at times they tend to just, you know, rely on that way back then. And now I'm just living my life and it's 40 years later and I need to ask, well, what present impact is that 40-year-ago decision having on my life? Right? I mean, what good is it if 40 years ago I went to the altar and there's nothing happening in my life as a result of it 40 years later? I've become so complacent and I'm so out of it that I've integrated right back into the world. And I'm choosing to love the world more. I mean, just think of that, guys. Just think of the day you came to Christ and the first week of your life with Christ, the excitement. And we say, oh, now I'm mature and I'm older. A lot of times I say, I don't have the energy that I did before. And I don't. But by golly, I want to have the fire of the gospel in me. And I want to be like Caleb. I'm 80 years old, God. All right, see that mountain? Give me the mountain. He could have taken the valley. He could have taken the resort on the side of the seashore. He says, no, I want another battle. I want to do something great again for you, Lord. I want to fight the giants again. Give me the mountain. I'm 80 years old and I'm ready to go. You know, and I just think, man, I never want to be like I want to be like Caleb. You know, I'm approaching 80. I want to be like Caleb. Man, I don't want to give in. I don't want to give up. I just don't want to do it. God, what do you have now? I mean, just think of how we were on fire at one time. That's why, man, continually be filling me. You know, why should I look at one experience of being baptized in the Holy Ghost so many years ago? Well, that's come and gone. Yeah, it changed my life. Yeah, I grew in certain things and blah, blah, blah. But I need to continually be being filled. That's what Paul says here. And I never hear it taught. But it's yet another relationship we have with the Holy Spirit. And Paul's saying it here, and then he's going into all these relational things. We wonder why I'm not succeeding in my relationships. Because I'm not filled with the Spirit, that's why. Because I'm not walking with the Lord in them. That's why. And so I need these things. So am I loving my wife? Husbands, love your wives. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Is that how you see your wife today? I hear a lot. I hear from Christian husbands. I hear complaints about, they're complaining to me about their wife. I'm being honest. It turns my stomach. That you don't see your wife as you should see her. And it's not her fault, it's your fault. And you are not loving her. You are not agape in her. You should never criticize your wife, especially if somebody else. If you think there's something going on there, you better be praying. You know, God, you can change it, right? Is God able to change it? Is the Holy Spirit able to do it? You better not be criticizing her to other people. Yeah, you need to repent if that's what you're doing. And you need to love her and see her as God sees her. And your goal is to lift her up and put her in that place that she is without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing, holy and without blemish. That's how Jesus loves us. the next thing, he, you know, look at the mix here, and we mentioned this with the wives, you know, this beautiful parallel that runs along here. Christ and the church, wife and the husband, husband and the wife. A second point that he makes with the husbands. I don't know why he does. Do husbands stand in the mirror more than... When they do, there's a problem, right? I haven't gone to the gym much. I used to years ago. And I always would look at some of these guys like very suspiciously. I didn't want to be around them because they stood in the mirror, in front of the mirror a lot. I was going, wow, is that why you're here? That's why they were there. Talk about being vain. Husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. I mean, he's just bringing, ramming home a real thing here. You know, this false thing that psychology, you know, has brought upon us that we don't love ourselves, and that's why we have all these problems. Wow, what a total upside down twist of a truth. The Bible says just the opposite. We love ourselves so much that it is a major problem. And so we need to not love ourselves. We need to realize who we really are. And so we love ourselves more than anything. Well, that's how we're to love our wives. You're not walking up to people saying, man, I am the stupidest, most incapable, ignorant, ugly man in the world. I just wanted you to know that. No, you're always talking about your exploits. How you're able to do this. And if there is something you might see a flaw in your character, you're quick to point out that it's someone else's fault. Well, it's because of this. Whether it's mom, dad, your boss, your neighbor, your wife. Right? And so all I'm saying is that we love ourselves and we see ourselves in a certain way, and we would do whatever we can to pamper ourselves and to make things good for ourselves. All Paul's saying is, if you could get just a little bit of a grasp on the truth of how much you love yourselves, well, that's how you're to love your wife. You don't hate yourself. You don't hate your body. That would be foolish to do so. So as husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. You know, you'll take care of your body. All of us do. Now, someone could look at me and say, you shouldn't be doing that because that's not the best way to take care of your body. But in my mind, I'm doing a great job. And so, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Why? Because we're going to see, you know, that we ultimately are mystically and mysteriously, ultimately as husband and wife, then even physically, joined together. And the two become one flesh. And that's a, you know, in many ways a mysterious saying. But we're loving ourselves. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, Just as the Lord does the church. You see, I'm saying that Jesus, he's provided and done what's necessary for you and I. We could be saved. We become part of the church. We're heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus, children of God. We're going to heaven. We possess eternal life. And that's how we're to love our wives. We're to love them. We're to provide for them. We're to edify them. We're to lift them up. We're to cleanse them. We're to minister to them. There's so many, I guess, practical things we could say. You know, how is this accomplished? Again, it's by, I think, of utmost importance is, am I spiritually leading and providing for my wife? Then there are the physical things. There are the relational things. I mean, we get into all that kind of stuff. But just bottom line, I think we can look and ask the Holy Spirit to show us as a husband. I mean, just saying love my wife. Am I? Do I? We're members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, the two will become one flesh. It's a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So just the holiness, you know, this marriage relationship and this relationship between a husband and a wife and how he links it to Jesus's relationship with you and I, with the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. You know, why does he say that like three times in there? And I think it's just, again, he realizes, you know, how, I mean, didn't Jesus say that we should treat other people in a way that we would like to be treated? Right? Did he say, do unto others as you would have them do unto you? You don't like to be talked about behind your back. You don't like to be looked down upon. You don't like to be abused. You know, you don't like these kind of things. Certainly I don't. Well, why would I do them to anybody else? And so again, he kind of ends this section. He says, husbands, love your wives. Love them like you love yourself. And then one last thing for the wife. And again, I just think that it's neat how throughout the whole scriptures, you know, we are taught, you know, how to live, how to walk, how to respond to things. And I think at times the Holy Spirit specifically hones in on certain areas that they're not totally unique, but they're like maybe special. Like to a guy, you know, like guys don't lust, you know, that watch yourself there because that guy's lust, you know, get rid of anger because guys tend to be angry. I don't think once in the scriptures, I think a number of times in the scriptures, women are told not to gossip. Why would that be? Well, you probably tend to gossip, right? I mean, that's how I look at it. It's not a put down. It's just like, here's the Holy Spirit giving me just a little extra oomph in certain areas that I can kind of look at and be aware of so that I can guard my heart, just like the writer of Proverbs says in Proverbs 4, 23 there, that I guard my heart with all guarding, and I kind of be on my toes, my tiptoes in these areas. Not that I can't be weak in every area, but these are particular areas that men might struggle with, where maybe a woman might not. And so, nevertheless, each one of you in particular, so agape his own wife, you know, and we didn't even talk about that, but, you know, we got eyes for one woman, and our eyes will stay there and remain there. The society today is redefining this. You know, if you remember a few years ago when that, it actually was being passed in New York State, homosexual marriage. And we put up on our sign, because half our people come from up there, you know, and so we put on our sign, marriage equals one man plus one woman. Just the truth. It's a truth of the scriptures. Oh my, did we hear about that? That was awful, the calls we got. And so just because Cuomo or whoever up there, you know, says it's one thing, doesn't change the truth of the scriptures. You know, marriage isn't between a woman and a woman, a man and a man, and a man and a dog, and a woman and a cat, and, you know, a cow boy and their horse. You know, where's this going to end? A hunter and his elk? No, marriage is between a man and a woman. And that's what God ordained. And so we love our own wife as ourselves. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. Why would he say that? Because wives, you just choose to do that. He's the head of the house. He's leading. And you respect that. And you honor that. And you allow him to lead. I think how often God has restored me and encouraged me and picked me up after, and, you know, sometimes I've just sinned and rebelled, and it's just, I mean, it's just outright. There's been other times I've really felt, you know, this is, I need to do this. And it hasn't been right. And God didn't forsake me. God didn't throw me away. I hopefully learned from that and became a better pastor because of it, or a better leader. And husbands, you know, husbands are probably going to make mistakes. But it doesn't diminish their role. And the wife has to respect her husband. And so what, again, is the underlying, you know, power to all this? It's the Holy Spirit. It's you and I being filled with God's Spirit and walking in a yielding to God's Spirit. It's you and I loving and believing His Word and simply obeying it. So wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Jesus loves the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, love your wives as you would love yourself. And wives, respect your husbands. That's what Paul in this epistle has to say about husband-wife relationships. We don't have to really add to it or take from it or try and come up with anything else. This is where it's at. This is what the Bible says. So Lord, help us to do it right. Help us to live this way. Help us to trust God and believe God in these areas. Right? Let's pray. Wives can pray.
husbands can pray. You know, maybe we'll spend just a moment before we break here and I close in prayer. Let's just have a moment silent alone, just you and the Lord this morning. Maybe you need to repent of something. Maybe the Lord showed you something. Lord, thank you for your word. And Lord, as a husband, Lord, I pray that even this morning you'd fill me with your spirit. And Lord, that you'd cause these verses, Lord, that we've gone through, Lord, to even become more of a reality in my life, Lord, as I would choose to agape my wife, Kim. Lord, for all of us here, who are husbands and wives, Lord, how wonderful you are, how full of grace and truth you are. Lord, I thank you that as we go through sections of scripture like this, Lord, you can bring encouragement and, Lord, kind of move us along. Lord, maybe we become complacent in some of our relationships. Lord, maybe there's things in our relationships that we're just not obeying you, as you've clearly shared, Lord, the truth of your word here with us. Lord, we repent this morning. Lord, we choose to acknowledge the truth of your word. And Lord, empower us now, Lord, to walk in it. Lord, that you would encourage, heal if necessary, restore if necessary, any relationship, Lord, between a husband and wife that exists here today. Father, we love you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, help us to leave here now, Lord, filled with your spirit. Lord, excited. Having a renewed, Lord, just vision, Lord, to reach, Lord, those around us with the gospel. Lord, open up conversations this week. Lord, arrange meetings and Lord, just situations. Lord, that we could further your kingdom. Lord, help us to walk in your presence. And Lord, fill our homes, Lord, with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.